Good to see everyone. We're glad to have you here. We are studying the subject of influence today. And what I've been pondering in the last few moments is whether to tell you a little episode. When my mother died, I had to be home for a little while and settle affairs. So I had occasion to attend worship there where I had been. And so I was talking with Buddy Gornto, who was an elder there. We were standing there in the building. And of course, it's as with any place that you have been and you have memories. You know, you stand there thinking about what all has happened here. And so, of course, I was thinking of that. I remembered when that building was built. I remember what the previous building looked like before that building was built. And so I was standing there, and we were talking about my mom. My mom had not been able to attend church for a while because of her health. We were standing there. They had the benches arranged in two sections rather than three. The building was considerably smaller than this building. But they had the benches arranged in two sections. And so over here was the front bench, and then the second bench, that used to be the Waldron bench. Used to be. There's not a Waldron there now. But that bench used to be full. And where Mama sat, the varnish was just about gone. So Buddy said, "That's where your mama sat." Well, I knew that was where Mama sat, but it hadn't dawned on me that she had worn the varnish off. That was a good influence. You can see why I haven't preached this one. I have thought about preaching a sermon based on Mama's legacy. The reason I haven't is because I haven't thought I could. But it was a powerful legacy. Her influence was a powerful influence. This morning, as we talked about influence, we talked about some evil women. There were also evil men who had terrible influences in the Bible. But it's interesting what a collection, what a concentration of evil influence we have focused there in the life of Solomon, and then in the life of his son Rehoboam, and then in the life of his son Abijah. Or, you know, I'm talking about Solomon and then Solomon's son and Rehoboam's son. I wanted to name those. I wanted to put them up here just by way of doing just a little bit of review. Here's Solomon, who married all of the foreign women, including Naamah the Ammonitess, who was the mother of Rehoboam. The fact that she was a pagan and Solomon married her meant that she had a very destructive influence upon Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had a son named Abijah. And Rehoboam married a pagan woman. Her name was Maacah. And Maacah had a dreadful influence upon her son Abijah. And then Asa came along. And Asa was a very good king, but that mother of Abijah, the wife of Rehoboam, was still alive, and she was his grandmother. And he set her aside from being queen mother because of her negative influence. But I tell the story about my mother tonight to let you women know that I know there are wonderful, wonderful women, wonderful, wonderful mothers. And we're going to look at one of them tonight as we look at the good influences. But still, what a lesson is preserved for us. You see, I didn't write this. The Lord preserved this for us, for our benefit, to see the evils of bad influence. So we talked about these women and the influence they had, but we also talked about Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, and how Ahab was so wicked of himself, but she stirred him up, adding to his wickedness, encouraging his wickedness. And she and Ahab had that wicked daughter, Athaliah. And Athaliah carried the blood of her mother spiritually and morally. She was just a remake of her mother. And her influence was dreadful in the life of her husband Jehoram, because he was one of the most wicked kings of Judah. And she likewise, as Jezebel stirred up Ahab, so Athaliah stirred up her wicked husband Jehoram and encouraged him in his wickedness. And then on her own son, Ahaziah, she was his counselor to do evil. So this is what we looked at this morning. And we're studying influence. And influence is the kind of thing that you're going to have it. You may not know you've got it, but you're going to have it. And you'll have it for good or for evil. And if you don't even know you have it, and you don't even know you're supposed to do anything about it, then most likely it will be evil. It will be negative. Influence is a treasure. It is a weapon. It is a tool. It can be used to build, or the result of it can be destruction. And so tonight, let's look at some examples of good influence. And the first one that I want to cite is well known, students of the Old Testament, and that is the influence of Jehoiada upon Joash. Now, once again, I think it is important to just give you a little brief background. And so don't get concerned if you can't plug in exactly. But remember I told you that the kingdom of Israel divided, and you had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And so as the years went by, you had the house of Ahab in Israel. And there were several. There was Omri, and then Ahab, and then his son Ahaziah, and then Jehoram. So you've got four people coming along there in the house of Ahab. God wanted the house of Ahab destroyed and erased from Israel. Now down in the south, I already told you about how Athaliah had crossed over. She had married into the house of David. She had married into the house of Judah. And her son Ahaziah was so wicked. Well, it turned out that there was a king anointed by God through his prophet. That man's name was Jehu. And Jehu was commissioned by God through his prophet to destroy the house of Ahab. And that was the house of Ahab not only up in Israel, but the house of Ahab down in Judah as well. So that means that when Jehu went to work, he slew Jehoram, who was in the north, king in the north. Jehoram, who was the brother to Athaliah. He also slew Ahaziah, the ruler in the south. And Ahaziah's mother was Athaliah. So that Jehoram was his uncle. He was on a visit to his uncle Jehoram when he was killed by Jehu. So Jehu wiped out both houses, or at least both kings. He didn't actually wipe out the house of David. But he did destroy the house of Ahab, and then over here he destroyed Ahaziah and slew him, and then he slew Jezebel, and he slew a host of others. Now when Ahaziah was killed, now here's the story. Let me go ahead and put Ahaziah. Here we have Ahaziah, who is ruling in Judah with his wicked mother, Athaliah, urging him on. Now, Jehu kills both of these men. Both of these men are actually of the seed. They're descended from Ahab. And when Ahaziah was killed, his mother Athaliah wanted to rule Judah. So she searched out all the grandchildren she could find, and she killed them, every one that she could find, so there would be no threat to her reign. But she overlooked Joash. So baby Joash was rescued by his aunt, Ahaziah's sister. This Ahaziah's sister, what kind of a woman was she? What kind of a woman would she have been being in that family? Well, she married a man named Jehoiada, who was the high priest in the temple of God in Jerusalem. And somebody made a difference in her. She was a good woman. And she snatched that baby up and ran out with him so that Athaliah did not know that she had missed that one. And that aunt, Jehoshabeath, took that baby over and they hid him in the temple. And they kept him there in the temple for several years. So here is Joash now coming along as this 7-year-old boy. And he is put upon the throne. And he is put upon the throne by this man, Jehoiada the high priest. Now, think about this man. This high priest served during the very time that Athaliah was pushing Baal worship so hard in Judah. Nevertheless, he obviously maintained the worship of the Lord because that was going on during the story. We read about the people that work, the Levites and the guards and all of that. They're coming in. They're doing their work. In other words, it's obvious from the story, even during the very time that Athaliah is ruling as queen and trying her best to make Baal worship the official worship of Judah, during that very time, this man Jehoiada is continuing to maintain the temple worship. And it's going on. Now that says a lot about him. That means he did not hesitate to defy Athaliah in saving her grandson Joash. And so he had saved that son. He had maintained the worship. In other words, I want you to know that Jehoiada was a man of strength and conviction. And so strong and so influential was he that Athaliah could not destroy or shut down the worship of the Lord at the temple during his time. So he bided his time. And finally, when the time was right, he strengthened himself, meaning that he planned his strategy, he got everything planned, and he set Joash on the throne. And he was still a little boy, 7 years old. But Jehoiada was his helper. And look at what the Bible says. And Joash did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So take just a moment and take your hat off, as it were, to Jehoiada, one of the best men that we read about in the Bible. And what I want you to see about Jehoiada is, here was a man who had a position to fill, and he filled that position. And he filled it with honor, and he filled it with conviction, and he filled it with strength. He didn't just get by. And so he was a man of great influence. And he exerted that influence upon Joash and led him in the way that was right. And Joash did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Now I especially include that verse because it includes the words, he instructed him. Jehoiada instructed him. He taught him. He encouraged him what to do. And Joash did it. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this story in a moment. But for right now, let me cite another case. The influence of Zechariah upon Uzziah the king. Now, I'm going to have a verse here, 2 Chronicles 26. But I'll have the verse up here on the screen. But for a moment, I want to tell you now that this is sometime later. Uzziah comes along sometime later. We have Joash, Amaziah, and then Uzziah. That doesn't matter for our purposes tonight. But some years have gone by. Joash, as I will tell you in a minute, I'll come back and tell you something else about him. Amaziah, wicked king, not the worst, but wicked. Uzziah, one of the best. One of the best of the kings. Now this Zechariah here is not Zechariah the prophet that we read about later on. Okay? So just dismiss that from your mind totally. This Zechariah here has nothing to do with the prophet Zechariah who came along many years later. This is another man named Zechariah who lived in the days of Uzziah, and really not much is known about him. Hardly anything is known about this man. But look at what we do know. Of Uzziah, it is said, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. That basically means that Zechariah was a prophet, and he had understanding in the vision of God. So Zechariah was a man who was a man of God. And so during the time that he was there with Uzziah, Uzziah was influenced by him. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. So I salute men like Jehoiada, and I salute men like Zechariah, who exerted their good influence on the kings who lived in their day and encouraged them to walk in the right way. And as I read about this and as you hear about this, I hope that you're thinking, you know, I want to be a person of positive influence upon for good to others. I want to influence others for good. I want to encourage the doing of right. I have a job to do. You have a job to do as children of God. So I want to be like Jehoiada. I want to be like Zechariah and look at something else. And this one is a real nugget of gold. The influence of Zechariah's daughter. The influence of Zechariah's daughter. Listen to this. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, I told you before that when you're reading in the information given in the Kings and the Chronicles, it does not by any means always tell you who the mother was. When it does tell you who the mother was, there is usually a specific point that is being made. And the specific point that is being made here is that look at the way influence goes down the line. I'm going to go ahead and put, we have Amaziah, then we have Uzziah, and then we have Jotham, and then we have Ahaz, and then we have Hezekiah. Now, this is time passing by here. And we have Zechariah, who flourishes in the time of Uzziah. But when Hezekiah comes along, there is a daughter of Zechariah. Now that daughter, just as I told you this morning, that word in Hebrew can as well mean granddaughter. So it might possibly be. But here is that man, Zechariah. And the historical writer has mentioned that. So when he gets here to Hezekiah, he goes back and says, as if, oh, you remember Zechariah who had such a good influence on Uzziah? Well, Hezekiah's mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, to make that amazing, she was married to one of the most wicked men that ever ruled in Judah. She was married to one of the most wicked kings that ever ruled in Judah. But when you have an absolutely terrible, wicked man like Ahaz, how does he come up with a son like Hezekiah? Well, it wasn't to Ahaz's credit. I'll tell you to whose credit it was. It was to Mama's credit. Hezekiah was influenced by his own godly mother, Abijah, who was the daughter, perhaps the granddaughter, of Zechariah. And so here I'm looking at a case where there was a father who was very influential upon the king in whose days he lived. But he was also influential in his own family. And he preserved a tradition of righteousness and virtue that carried on down. So that in the days of a descendant of his, a descendant of Zechariah, had a wonderful and positive influence upon that king as well, Hezekiah. All right, now then, I want to go back for a moment to that story of Joash. We're going to go back up here because, unfortunately, I didn't tell you the rest of the story. And I want you to think about something now. One of the principles that we see in the study of influence is that not only did one need to have good influences, one also needed to be willing to be influenced for good. Now, someone may talk about it. I've heard people say, well, I never had a chance. Nobody ever taught me. Nobody ever worked with me. I've had people say that, you know, and okay. I can even identify with that somewhat in my very early days. Even though my family eventually did become Christians, and the influence, as I said a while ago, was very great upon me. The influence of my mother and father. Then there are people who will come, and I've had them tell me, well, my mama tried to cram religion down my throat. She took me and she made me go to church. Can you tell me how to win? Can you tell me how you're going to win? How can a parent win with an attitude like that? Because if the parent didn't do anything and didn't teach, then that very child would grow up and say, my mama never taught me. She never took me to church. Blah, blah, blah. Look how pathetic I am because what my mama didn't do. On the other hand, if the mama took him to church and taught him, then he says, my mama tried to cram that down my throat. It always makes me very, very irritated to hear people talk like that and tell and condemn and criticize a mother who was probably giving far more to do for that child what she was doing than he could ever imagine. And then for him to criticize her like that, I don't want to hear it. I don't like to hear it. I want you to get this point tonight, every one of us, that it is not only whether you have good influences, it is whether you open your heart to receive the good influences also. It is not just one-sided. One may have good influences available and not choose to pay them any heed. In that case, the fault belongs not to the one who exerted the good influence, but to the one who would not give heed. Now, in the case of Joash, I'm illustrating the point that one must grow so that eventually his strength comes from sources within his own self. Okay? All of us need some help from time to time. All of us need some help to get our feet on the right path. All of us need help in getting started. But eventually, we must get to the point where our strength comes from sources that are within us, not from sources outside of us. I want to encourage every single one of you to think about that. That you need to be your own person with regard to why you do what you do. And your motives, your strength, and everything must come from within you, from the strength that is within you. Hopefully a strength that has been planted in you by God through the various agencies that God uses to do that kind of thing. Joash is a case in point. When the influence of Jehoiada, the priest, was gone, that is, when Jehoiada died, and he died at the age of 130, he is one of the oldest people in the Bible, after that early period when people lived to be 900 years or 200 years, well after that, Jehoiada lived to be 130 years old. A man who died in great honor and was buried among the kings because of the benefit he had been to the house of David. But when that influence was gone, Joash turned away. He turned away and he forsook that which Jehoiada had trained him to do and taught him to do and encouraged him to do. He turned away from that. So, what kind of a man was Joash? If I examine his personality, what kind of a personality, what drove him? He may have been a person who found it hard to assert himself, who in his uncertainties was easily led by others, whether it was Jehoiada, the good influence, or the princes of Judah that came to him after Jehoiada's death, and he hearkened unto them. You know, he could have been a kind of a weak guy, hard to assert himself. Yeah, he may have. But another possibility, or he may have been one who yearned for the freedom from the restraints that Jehoiada placed upon him, and as soon as possible cast them off to do what he had wanted to do all along. Now, I don't know which it is, but I know that it would be wrong for us to decide it was just one of those. Couldn't be the other. It could be either one of them. You know, sometimes when we deal with someone like Joash who behaved the way he did, we want to excuse him. And we want to say, poor guy, he probably just weak, never could make up his mind about anything. But I'm wanting you to understand that, no, that may not be the case at all. It just may be the case that Joash said, there are things that I'm not going to be able to do. And I'm not going to be able to buck Jehoiada in this thing. So I'll just wait till he's dead. I don't know which it is. But the bottom line is the same. He forsook the Lord. And that influence that Jehoiada had had upon him was all to no avail because Joash paid no attention to it. Now then, let me talk for a little while about your own dealing with influences. And so we've looked in our examples here, and of course we could choose many, many more. I mentioned this morning Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Talked about Ruth. Many others that we could talk about. But now I want to make some applications as far as your own dealing with influences. And first, let's look at the influence of others upon you. Here we're looking at the influence from outside, the influence of others upon you. You are surrounded by influences, both good and evil. You have already sorted them out. Now, you may not have written them down on a piece of paper, but I don't believe there's a person in here tonight who could not write down the various influences that are upon you and designate, is this a good one or a bad one? Do you know what I mean? You write down the various influences without any regard to taking blame, placing guilt, anything else. Just write them all down. Would it be true that you could already categorize them? These belong in the bad column. These belong in the good column. See, we already know that. We are surrounded by influences, both good and evil. We've already sorted them. And we know which are good and which are evil. Now, you know what? It's called making up your mind. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. You make up your mind, I'm going to erect a shield, a barrier. And I'm going to stop those evil influences right out here. I'm going to erect a shield, and I will block my mind and my heart and my life from those evil influences. And I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to cling to that which is good. The way the Apostle Paul mentioned it in Romans 6 is, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin but alive unto God. Dead unto sin. You know what that means? That means you make no response to sin. I will illustrate, and will recognize this illustration. Will and I have talked about this and some ideas and so on. You've got a lying here on the ground. Would you imagine with me for a moment that we have a very large Doberman pincher? He's lying on the ground. Is he asleep? Or is he dead? I think I shall see whether this animal is asleep or dead. So you, let it be you. You go up and you just whack. You kick the Doberman pincher rather stiffly with the point of your toe. If he is dead, he makes no response. If he's not dead, you're going to have to learn to get along with one leg. So dead means you make no response. In Romans 6 there, dead to sin. That means you make no response to it. It comes knocking, you don't answer the door. It calls for you, you don't answer. It rings the phone, you don't pick the phone up. No response to sin. Now that's what we've got to do. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Choose to listen to the good influences and reject the evil influences. Think about what should Eve have done when the evil influence of Satan came in the garden there tempting her. What should she have done? To whom should she have listened? God or Satan? Everyone knows that story from your earliest childhood. What if she had listened to God? How much infinitely better she would have been off. But she listened to Satan instead. Now consider also your influence upon others. Now then, we're shifting the thing. We've been looking at the influences coming in. Now we're looking at the influences going out. Your influence upon others. You will have an influence on others. Why not let it be a good one? I have here only a reference, but it was one of the best and most succinct descriptions of influence found in the whole Bible, where Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on top, so that it will shine unto all that are in the house. Even so, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Analyze that. Salt makes a difference. Light makes a difference. Light illuminates. Light scatters darkness. Let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father. This is influence. Through the choices that Abel made at the very beginning of time, he being dead, yet speaketh. Have you ever thought about that? Abel was a fairly young guy when he died. And he was the first person who ever died in all history that we're told about. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be Abel and you go to paradise and there's nobody there but you? There were not the dead saints of all the ages. Now, I believe according to the Bible, he was with God in Christ. He was not alone and scared and neglected and all that. But there was no other human being who had died. So he kind of died early, you might say. Real early. Not as early as anyone could die. And so all these years he's been dead. He didn't live a life so far as having a family, leaving a lineage behind him. He didn't do any of that. He didn't have a chance to teach people. And yet, what's the point here? Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. And he does so by the life that he did choose to live, by the reactions he made to God. Abel had an influence. And what this is saying is he still is having an influence. And you know, another thing I want you to think for just a moment as we think about Abel here. Do you know anybody dead that is still having an influence upon you? Oh, yes. Let us live so that when we die, being dead, we will yet speak through our influence. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. Influence. Let your speech be the kind of speech that always says something good about who you are. Let your words be healthy words. If you'd like, you can turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, let's read verse 11 also. Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Verse 12, having your behavior seemly, meaning appropriate among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Now here, your influence, see, by the works which they behold, your influence will move them to glorify God in the day of visitation. And I'm not going to have time, not going to take the time, but I would like to encourage you to read the whole letter of 1 Peter and think about influence. Okay? It is amazing how much emphasis there is in this letter specifically on influence. I didn't begin to get all the passages. Let's look at that same chapter, verses 15 and 16, where Paul has talked about being subject to the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king or governors or whatever. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that by well-doing ye should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Do you see that that's talking about influence? You, by well-doing, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free and not using your freedom for a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. And now we're going to skip to the next chapter. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. But even if ye should suffer for righteousness' sake, blessed are ye. Wonder where Peter got that from. One would almost think that he might have been at the feet of Jesus when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. And that was one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye, and fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that wherein ye are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. Listen to this. For it is better, if the will of God should so will, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. talk about influence. The Bible talks about Jesus as He came into the world. He was the light that was coming into the world. As we conclude, think about these things. When it comes time for you to die, and it will, let it be said of you, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them." All that you have done, your life, and your influences upon others will constitute your record, and you will carry that record with you. It will follow you. Your money won't follow you. Homes and possessions of this earth will not follow you. But the things you have done will follow you. If you have come to the Lord for cleansing, either as a sinner who's never been pardoned by Christ, and you come to Him for that pardon, or as a child of God who has stumbled, if you have come to the Lord for pardon, your record will be cleansed of all those things that you will be ashamed of, and you will not need to fear facing the Lord. Influence. I want you to ponder these thoughts, particularly as we close the lesson tonight. You have it, and that's going to be part of your record. It'll have to do with the good that you did or the evil that you did. There is evil that you do, which affects you. There's good which you do, which affects you. But the evil you do also affects others, and the good that you do also affects others. And so surely the characters that we have looked at that are commended in the Scriptures, these good people and so many others that we could name, surely they speak to us. Surely they say, that's what I want to be like. I encourage all of us to strive to be like these great people in the Bible that were full of good influence. Be like the Lord. Be like so many others that whose lives are recorded here. Hebrews 11 is full of their names. If you're not a Christian, why not become one tonight by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and turning away from your sins, confessing your faith and being baptized to have your sins removed? Or if you're a child of God and you have been unfaithful to the Lord, why not come back to the Lord, be restored, have those sins forgiven, renew your allegiance to God? If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we encourage you to come now as we stand and sing.